Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning again, everybody. And now, since Team USA was eliminated from the World Cup, listeners, we want to hear from you. What's your new team? If you were rooting for the U.S. at first, and obviously we realize we have listeners from everywhere in our area, and if you're from Colombia, you're still rooting for Colombia, and if you're from Brazil or France, etc., you were never rooting for the U.S., probably. But if you started out supporting Team USA, who gets your allegiance second? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Give us a call and make a case for your alternative team. Worthy of a rooting interest as the quarterfinals of the World Cup get underway tomorrow, 212-433-9692. Now, if you need a list of the eight teams still in it, and many Americans do, here you go. The teams left are Costa Rica, Argentina, Belgium, Netherlands, Brazil, France, Colombia, and Germany. So give us a call and tell us who you're rooting for, and how do you choose? Is it based on certain players whose style you've come to like while watching this World Cup, or games you watched and kind of get into that team? Or is it more about the culture or politics of the country? I say, go Costa Rica, a nation with no standing army. Give us a call, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And here to help out as your calls are coming in is Greg Howard, no relation to Tim, right?
No, not that I know of.
I'm assuming.
My mom's already claimed him, though.
Say it again?
My mother's already claimed him.
Claimed him. Everybody's claiming him. The Defense Department is claiming him. Greg Howard, writer for Deadspin and the editor of Deadspin soccer site, Screamer. So did you see this whole Secretary of Defense thing with Tim Howard?
Yeah, I thought it was hilarious, and I thought it was actually pretty apt after the Belgium game.
Because he made so many unbelievable saves, obviously, defense. And I guess this originated on Wikipedia. Somebody actually changed the Tim Howard entry on Wikipedia to refer to him as the U.S. Secretary of Defense. And at least according to one thing that I read, the head and the founder of Wikipedia, instead of saying, go change that inaccuracy right away, which is their usual mandate, said, maybe we should leave that up there for a few hours.
Right, right. I mean, it wasn't that much of a stretch, was it?
I guess not. And then even Chuck Hagel, the actual Secretary of Defense, weighed in. He called Tim Howard to congratulate him on that historic game against Belgium. So way to have a sense of humor, Chuck Hagel and everyone else involved. All right. So you get to go first. Do you have a team now that you're switching your own rooting interest to?
Yes. My favorite team outside the United States would be France. They were probably the first national team I ever supported back in 98 with, you know, Thierry Henry and Zinedine Zidane. And neither of those players are there anymore, but, you know, I guess they kind of live on through players like Olivier Giroud, Karim Benzema, Pogba, guys like that. They're a really fun team this tournament. They don't always score every tournament, but they are this time.
Demisi in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Demisi.
Hey, how are you? Great show.
Thanks
for having me on.
You have a team?
Yeah, I absolutely have a team. I am supporting the Netherlands.
Where did you start? You did start out with Team USA?
Yeah, I'm kind of, you know, excuse me, but I'm kind of one of those guys that always had a two-team that's called Team Wanker, kind of. So I started off with the U.S. Well, I was always sort of secretly supporting Holland as well. So now I'm full-fledged Nederlander.
Is it a sports motivation or something cultural or what?
A little bit of all of that. We live in New Amsterdam, after all, so as New Yorkers, we should get behind that. Secondly, I have dual citizenship with Sweden, and since we didn't make it in, I'm supporting the nearest northern neighbors that are still in the competition. And also, you know, for footballing reasons, you know, this is a country that's given so much to the game, from Johan Cruyff to Frank Rijkaard, and, moving forward now, Robin van Persie's goal was absolutely the goal of the tournament, hands down. They developed total football, the ability for a player to be able to, you know, play any position, to interchange fluidly, play with both feet, They've given so much to the tradition of football that, they really do deserve something. Plus, always been the bridesmaid and never the bride.
Thank you very much, Demisi, making the case for the Netherlands. Didn't the Netherlands get to the championship game and lose like three times in the last 20 years or something?
Yeah, they've had some bad luck. You know, a whole lot of bad luck. Most recently, they lost to Spain in 2010 championship. And, I didn't really expect them to still be in the tournament at this point. But they have Robin van Persie and Arjen Robben, who are just performing better than any other striking duo in the tournament.
John in East Harlem, you're on WNYC. Hi, John.
Hello.
Team USA rooter, but now you have a second choice?
Well, my general default is to support a team that hasn't ever won it before, and I think there's four teams left in that category. But I'm going to kind of stick with Colombia, even though I think they're a long shot. I'd be okay with the Netherlands winning, and they're a very solid choice in that regard. They have a very good chance to win it this time, I think.
And Colombia plays Brazil tomorrow, so if you want a good underdog coming up, that would be anybody who plays Brazil. This plays Colombia.
Brazil have been commented as being very weak, so who knows? I mean, there's a lot of problems with the Brazilian team, so who knows?
Thank you. And Greg, let's see. That game, the media talk is focused on the battle of Brazil's Neymar, who is nursing some injuries but will probably play, as I understand it, versus Colombia's center midfielder, James Rodriguez. You want to talk about either of those guys?
Yeah, Neymar's probably my favorite player in the world right now. Every level, every challenge that he's faced with, all he does is score goals and create goals. And, he's my favorite player to watch. But James Rodriguez from Colombia, not only him, but, Jackson Martinez, I think they're the most exciting team in the tournament. I'm more pumped for Brazil-Colombia than any other game. And, I would even say that might be that winner might go on to win it. I disagree with the fact that Brazil a week, but between Neymar and James Rodriguez, I think you have two of the most exciting young players in the world.
Something to watch for tomorrow if you're following the World Cup. This is WNYC FM HD and AM New York, WNJT FM 88.1 Trenton, WNJO 90.3 Toms River, WNJY 89.3 Netcong, and WNJP 88.5 Sussex. We are New York and New Jersey Public Radio, as we're taking your calls on who you're going to root for in the World Cup now that Team USA is out. And Cecilia in Princeton, you're on WNYC. Hey, Cecilia.
Hi. So my father's Costa Rican and my mother's Japanese.
And Japan's not in it.
Hello?
I said, and Japan's not in it.
Yeah, so I usually root for Costa Rica, Japan, and the U.S. So now that Japan's out and the U.S. is out, I'm rooting for Costa Rica.
All right. And by the way, I direct everybody to our website where our producer, Jody Avergan, who is also from Costa Rica, laid out a really cool seven-point argument, I should say, his case for rooting for Costa Rica if you were formerly rooting for the United States, right on our blog. So you can find it at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And they are the Cinderella team at this point, right, Greg?
They are. I would probably call them the last true Cinderella team. And I actually hate Costa Rica.
The country or the football team?
No, the country's great. I actually have a couple friends from Costa Rica, but I don't enjoy watching the soccer team. They're a little cynical in their formation. They play, very defensive. And, the reason why they're dangerous in knockout rounds is that you don't have to win here. Like, we've seen so many, games go to penalties already in the, round of 16. If you can just hold on for 120 minutes and don't concede a goal, they have one of the best keepers in the world, and, they can probably beat a lot of teams in penalties.
And I was listening to their last game on the radio as I was in the car during the first half. Who did they play again? I'm blanking on it. That last victory.
Oh, man, I'm blanking on
it. Oh, it was Greece.
Oh, right. Right. Which was the worst game of the tournament.
Such a bad game, right? And the commentator on the radio was just berating both teams. This is the worst football I've seen in the World Cup, as it ended 0-0 at the end of the first half.
Right.
And it was like both teams were playing the way you described. They weren't actually setting out to take any risks and score any goals. They were both trying to not be scored upon.
Right. It was, I kind of buck against them as a soccer fan, Costa Rica and Greece. You know, and I think Greece might be the most hated team in the whole world because of how they play. But Costa Rica don't play too much different.
Because of that style.
Right. They're, you know, it's cynical. It's not fun. You know, and this party is only once every 4 years.
Cynical is such an interesting word for a soccer style. Just because they're playing defense and hoping for basically a 0-0 tie and then win on penalty kicks.
Right. I guess pragmatic would be a better term, but but I don't like them, so they're going to get
Gokhan in Rochester. You're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi, sir.
Thanks for calling. I can hear you.
Hi. I'm sports in Argentine. I'm originally from Istanbul, Turkey, but we didn't qualify, so.
Why do you like Argentina?
I was a big fan of Maradona, and I'm a big fan of Messi.
Messi.
About Messi?
I mean, I've gone on record saying he's probably the best player of all time. And, you know, what's really cool is that for a while, he wasn't really performing for Argentina. But, you know, this tournament, he's been doing whatever he'd like. So, you know, they're a good bet because he's got the team on his back now. And we've already seen him win titles in club by himself almost, or, you know, with the lesser cast of characters. No reason why he couldn't do it now.
Kelly and Randolph, you're on WNYC. Hi, Kelly.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Who are you rooting for?
Well, we are now rooting for Germany. We lived in Germany for 8 years. My kids grew up there, and they've been big fans of Bayern Munich and the German national team. So it's an easy transition for us to switch from rooting for the USA to rooting for Germany.
Right. Okay. Well, thanks. And we're getting a lot of callers who have roots in the various countries that
right.
they're now turning their loyalties to, which wasn't exactly the point of the call. And it was really more like, hey, if you were just for Team USA and you have no particular connection to the other countries that are still in it at the World Cup, who are you rooting for based on whatever? But do you see talk about the German. Let's still use her call as an opportunity to talk about Germany at this point, another powerhouse.
Yeah, I mean, I think in terms of raw talent, they had the most. They have, you know, more than any other team in the World Cup. They did when there were still 32 teams, and they do have all the Bayern Munich boys. Philipp Lahm, Thomas Müller. They have Mario Götze, Mesut Özil. These are, you know, some guys who can say I'm among the best in the world in my position. They're the only thing I really see that would get in their way. It's just a Brazilian heat, you know, and just the long tournament. That's all I see.
All right. Spontaneous soccer nerds debate. Greg Howard, you just called the Costa Rican style of play cynical.
It's miserable.
Our producer, Jody Avergan, wants to bash back.
I was
back,
sitting
right?
upstairs listening to you, Greg Howard, and I ran down here and insisted on coming on here to defend the Costa Rican style. I did write this post for the site, and I, you know, grew up in Costa Rica. I have allegiances to them. But with regards to this particular cynical style, as you put it, this defensive style, what they do, and correct me if I'm wrong, but what they do is they basically hold a back line of defenders and try and draw teams offsides. They did it in the Italy game. They did it in the Greece game. Yes, it's not dynamic. It's not forward thinking. But when it works, it is incredibly satisfying team defense to see them over and over draw this offsides. And the other part of it, which I find really kind of neat to watch, is that it relies in a way on collaboration with refs, right? Because if the ref misses one offsides, you're in trouble because you're basically giving someone a free pass to the goal. So, you know, we see how corruptible and, you know, enigmatic refs are. And here's this Costa Rican team saying over and over and over, we're going to sort of hold this line, play team defense. It can be boring. It's a little harrowing to watch because you never know when it's not going to work. But when it does work, I think it's really satisfying team defense.
Isn't it sort of a cheap trick, this offside trap?
It's part of the rules.
It's not a cheap trick. But and I guess if you're into watching defense, there aren't many better teams to watch than Costa Rica. But, you know, they don't have much coming forward. Joel Campbell, who's a young Costa Rican player, and Brian Ruiz, they're both good, not great players, but they are not beating teams. They actually did well in the group stage,
right.
And they took on three powerhouses, and they they escaped one of the toughest groups.
For people who are still getting up to speed on how to watch soccer and appreciate it, what is the offside trap? Explain it and why it's interesting to watch.
Well, Greg probably knows this better than I do, but basically you cannot have, as an offensive team, you can't have a player beyond – there have to be two defenders counting the goalie. So you always kind of count the goalie as one. There have to be two defenders between the furthest forward offensive player and the goal. So what you see is, you know, these offensive players go screaming forward when a pass goes to them. And if they are too close to the goal, if there's only – if they're past that last defender and the only person between them and the goal is the goalie,
then they're offside.
So the offside's trap is this situation where you have this sort of disciplined line of defensive players who really are standing – you can watch it – standing in a line across near the goal, and they're trying to get to the point where as soon as they see a pass being sent sort of towards them or over them, they're holding that line and hoping that the last offensive player is behind them. So it's this gamble, right? It's this moment of, oh gosh, is the ref going to actually buy that this guy was beyond us?
Correct.
And if it doesn't work, then, you know, that person's off to the races.
He described it right?
He described it perfectly, yes.
But it's a beautiful thing, Greg.
It's a beautiful thing, but there are a lot, I mean, there are a lot of teams who play a high line, which is what we're talking about, who play the offside trap, who also are exciting to watch
on offense.
Score. I mean,
that is where we have to leave unresolved our spontaneous soccer nerds debate on the offside trap and the cynical nature of the Costa Rican soccer team. And we're going to leave
it there. We're shaking hands. Yes, we're making nice.
I see. Shaking hands in the studio. Producer Jody Evergan and Greg Howard, no relation to U.S. goalkeeper Tim Howard, writer for Deadspin and the editor of Deadspin soccer site Screamer. Thanks for helping us take calls on who people are rooting for now that Team USA is
out. Thanks for having me.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.